next year he won't be able to win because he's an employee now of New Life Ministries and New Life Fellowship. So, one and done, bud. But good job. This is our vision day. I want to take a moment. I'm going to do some things. I'm a spontaneous type of guy, right, Ashley? My wife does not like that. But that's what makes us a team that we are. How many of you have all been here more than 10 years? Just stand up for a minute. Look at me. You didn't quit. You were there during those couple of hard times. You were there. And you didn't quit. Sometimes you didn't agree with me. Sometimes I loved you and I didn't agree with you. We didn't love, but we are here where we are today. God did not want this church, don't sit yet, but God did not want this church that I know as of in the past to be this big mammoth church. The world wants us to keep saying, hey, how can you grow? How can you grow? But I want to tell you, with the ministries that God's given to us that we talked about in 2005, God has been faithful. And you've been faithful for over 10 years. For over 10 years, you've been faithful. And God rewards faithfulness. God doesn't look at the things that we always look at. He looks at the hearts of the people. And you stuck, and you have not quit. And I say thank you. Thank you, guys. All right, you can sit down. All right. There's something to be said. Sometimes in churches, people say the matriarch, the patriarchs, the foundation families, all of those things. And I hear a lot of times in other churches that they can become a hindrance or a stumbling block at times because they say this is the way it was and this is the way it needs to stay. And sometimes the biggest growth issue and stumbling block in a church sometimes can be an old family that's been there for a long time and wants everything to go their way and nothing to change. And I can know some brothers of mine right now that are passing those churches and thinking about leaving some of those churches. They want to spend time fighting battles that they're not going to be able to win. But in this church, you've been faithful. And I appreciate that very much. In our church, we know that we have had a lot of ups and downs from time to time. And God has blessed us many times. There's been times I think we've been under discipline. There's been times that God has continued to do things and move things in a way that He wants. We are truly clay and He is the potter. And if you take it even deeper, you as an individual is a lump of clay and He is the potter and He is creating a new you. And He's creating this church and He's still putting His hands on the potter's wheel and He's still creating this church. But there is something that Jesus said back before He left that still resonates. You see, some things change and some things doesn't. But the things with the Lord is that doesn't change. I want to read to you out of Matthew, and I want to share with some of these things how they're working with us in New Life today. Before Jesus, right before that moments before He ascended, it says in Matthew 28, in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. I want to tell you, even though the things that we're doing today, sometimes some of us are still doubting what God has called us to do. But God doesn't quit. God doesn't push us off to the side. He keeps working with us. Because all of our faith levels are not the same. We need to be patient with those whose faith is not quite the same or strong, maybe as yours. But you also need to be willing to grow in your faith. Be easy on those whose faith is not as strong, maybe as yours. It says, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has a specific vision that he has, that the lost become saved. That the saved, and babe, once we're lost, we become saved. We are babies in Christ. Now, I will tell you that you can be a baby in Christ for 20 years. You're just a big baby. You're just a big baby. Unfortunately, we have a lot of those in our churches in America today. We have a lot of baby Christians in America today. But our peace is not to stay there at that moment where we're just being a baby in Christ. Our peace is that we would become disciples of Christ, being able to do the things that He has called us to do. It's not just coming up to the table and getting your dinner, your meal, and then walking away, coming to church, getting yours, and leaving, and then going and doing whatever you want for the rest of the week, and then coming back, getting your little ticket punched again, saying, I went to worship, and then turn around and leave and do your thing. That's what a lot of baby Christians do. But he didn't just say to win the lost. Part of that is to disciple those who become Christians. We have a responsibility to get into the Word of God on our own. We have a responsibility to show up for worship when the doors are open. We have a responsibility not just to do those things and to pray on a daily basis, but to get involved in something that God is doing. You want to see God move, get involved with what God is doing. Get involved with what God is doing. We had a great year last year. We had some ups and downs, but we had a great year last year. I believe we'll probably have a great year this year. Why? Because I believe we start our year off praying about what does God want. I believe that we will get there because we do something that is kind of almost, I won't say it's a lost art, but it is something that's lost amongst our churches today. It is that we have a fast. Now, how many of you participated in the fast this year? Okay, I'm going to tell you, even if just for one day or a meal or two, fasting pulls the heart of God. And fasting is something that is key. We want everything right now. We want it all right now. We want everything to happen. We want our prayers answered right now. But there's something about fasting that draws us to a place where we begin to quiet down and we let our hearts become, we just open our hearts up to the Lord. We're struggling. America is struggling. Now, I know that many of you know what happened in New York, and I don't want to get in political things, but I just want to tell you the darkness is going to continue to be darkness. You can get on bandwagons, get in arguments and those kind of things, but I want to tell you that's exactly what Satan wants you to do, is get into ugly arguments. There's ways to work through it. You can't stop it. There's only one that can. I hope you know that. No one can make it. No one can stop things unless he's involved. You don't have the power to make a phone call. You don't have a, you're not that, your Facebook page isn't going to get people to change their minds. It's through prayer and fasting. It's through asking God. God's the one that can move in hearts of men. He's the one that can harden and soften the hearts. We get ourselves, this is exactly what Satan wants us to do. Get us pulled up into these word battles that mean nothing, but it extinguishes the flame that we are. The Bible says, that, or Jesus says in the Bible, he says that we are the light of the world. We are all like a flame walking in a dark world. And you can't put out a flame. I mean, you will see a flame in the darkness. If this room was pitch black and somebody had a cigarette and lit it and there'd be one flame, you would see that flame. But once you start getting involved with all the other things, your flame starts to extinguish. It starts to go out. That's exactly what the darkness wants. But once we come together, like today, as our flames come together as one, and we become a big flame, a bonfire. And what we do with that time is very, very important. Do we want to hear about how do you get your best life now? How are you going to get yours? What are you going to do in the world to make your best move so you can get your time in this world where you can be on the top of the mountain? That's what some guys and women are preaching. But it's never been that in God's Word. It's been about you. How can you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? How are you going to grow in your walk in the Lord, not to be what you wanted to be, not to be all those other things, but to be what God designed you to be? Just like He said, He is the potter and we are the clay. He has an image that He wants to create you into be. And you can't fight it if you just freely let Him have His hands on you. You'll be amazed at what He can do with you. You'll be amazed at what He'll chip out of your life. And you'll be amazed what He will create in your life. And you'll be a different person. And you may say, well, we all need some adjustments. And God is great with adjustments. Jesus was the last words that He said on this earth as being in this form. He says, all authority has been given to me. Jesus is in charge. It doesn't matter who's in all these high positions. God established those authority places and authority positions to run and govern the world. But He is the one that's on the throne. He is the chess mover. He is the one that moves. He is the one that has authority over all things, up in heaven, below heaven, on heaven, the universe. Everything revolves around His authority. Isn't it good and best to get around and be a part of what He is doing and not what the world is doing? He knows the plan. He's created all these things. All authority has been given to me on this, heaven and earth. What He's saying is, I'm in charge now. I'm in charge. You know what? It's a good thing He is in charge. It's a good thing that He is in charge. And He says, now I want you to go, therefore. He says, these guys, because they're believers, He says, I want you to go out there and I want you to make disciples. I want you to become fishermen of men. I want you to go out and share the gospel. But just don't share the gospel. I want you to raise up and teach and disciple. Make them like me. Make them Christ-like. And do those things. And I want you to do that through that salvation, teaching and baptism. And all those things that He has called us to do. Those things makes us stronger believers. How many of you feel that you need to be a stronger believer today? How many of you feel that your faith needs to increase? Well, it comes at a cost. It comes where you stand at a road where you want to make a decision and you're not sure if this is God or whatever. You need to stop and quit making decisions on your own and start praying and asking God to be a part of that decision making, because He's got something behind that door down that road that is just for you, but He's going to test you to make sure you're going to stay on the road. God just doesn't throw us. God just doesn't want to throw us peanuts. God wants to give us big things. And that whole thing about get your best life now and all that kind of teaching, there's a part in there that's true. But not the way that they say. You're not going to get it the way they say it. You can't go out and name it and claim it. You don't go out and name and claim these things. You just step in. You step on God's will. Step into God's will. And God has a will for every single one of you. And He has a plan for every single one of you. You are not destined to be an alcoholic. You are not purposed to be a drunk. You are not purposed to be homosexual, lesbian. And I could get in trouble for that these days. But I'm just telling you. Well, just go to Romans chapter 1. It'll tell you. It's wrong. Okay? You can't pick and choose verses, folks. You can't pick and choose verses. It is either God's Word, all of it, or it's none of it. And I choose to say it's all of it. Now, I love them. I love them. And I do. I've had a conversation with them. I can eat dinner with anyone. And I believe this church is that way. Why? Because of the ministries that we have. God loves brokenness. But these scriptures tells us that He loves people. But He doesn't want to leave them where they're at. And praise God to that. He didn't leave you where you were. He didn't leave you with your head in the ditch. He didn't leave you in that place where you shouldn't have been. He called you. He followed you. He watched you. He said He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He was in that motel room when you went in with the wrong person. Come on now. He went in that motel room when you were with the wrong person. And you put the wedding band down. He'd been with you when you went out to the back alley and called that person. You know they'll bring you what you desire, what you want. You know that you, in your spirit you don't want it, but your body is saying it needs it. There's a battle going on, and He's still hanging there with you. He's there with you when you're sitting there in that moment of boredom, and then you get on there and you see an old face, and you kind of start doing a little flirtation with someone on Facebook. You start flirting with someone. He's right there. He sees it all. But He loves you enough not to walk away from you. But you know what? He could, because you're not, those are unholy, sinful things. But He chooses not to walk away from us. Praise God for that. He chooses to hang in there with us. He chooses to remind us that we can do all things through Christ. He's going to bring those things up in front of you. He's going to put a conviction in your heart, and He's going to make you feel uneasy. You know what it feels like to be uneasy, and you know it. You know it, and those times of boredom when you're doing something, you know you're just getting that itch. That's the flesh calling it out. That's the sinful life trying to pull you through temptation. And then there's something else inside of you that's saying, you know, you shouldn't do that. And there's a battle going on. I want to tell you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, no, no, no. You know what that leads to. God doesn't want you to do that. God's doing a work on you. Don't mess it up. If you mess it up, you take 2 steps forward, and you're taking 5 steps back. But you know what? God will go back with you those 5 steps. He will. He'll go back with you. He'll have patience with you. But you know what? You're still not. Some Christians are going to die as a baby in Christ and never become that full Christian that God purposed them to be. And He purposed you to be bigger than what you can ever imagine. More influence in the world that you live in than you ever could imagine. It's when you step out and you trust God with all your decisions and your choices. And He will make a way for you that you could never imagine. And He'll make something for you. And that's not a promise of mine. That's just what I see in God's Word. That's what I've seen in my own life. That's what I've seen in some of your lives. Some of us probably have prayed the Lord. Whew, I hope she's not pregnant. I hope when I go to the doctor, I don't got hep C. I don't got that sexual disease. I'm just saying. Those are real life pieces that people stress over. Trying to become a Christian and you owe the drug dealer money. And you're not in debt like $50, you're in debt like $5,000. How are you going to do that? And you're trying to get over here in the world, and you're trying to get away from the world, and the devil's running after you because you got a payment, and you're running over here. And you're saying, I want God, but then you're getting pulled over here because you got this. And you're like, well, I can make money real quick doing this. I can do this, and I can do that, do this, and that. Listen, God will still be with you on all that. He's going to put His arms around you, and we're going to do those things. But I want to tell you, it's going to be rough, and there's some costs, and there's a lot of conviction, and there's a lot of compelling, and there's just a lot of weight, but there's also a lot of there's a lot of consequences for going back, trying to keep one foot in the world. Listen, you don't come to church once every 2 months, every 6 months, and tell me that God is doing something great in your life. Those are just words. It's the person who's faithful to God. It's the person who's doing those things. And God is faithful. Because here's what He says. He comes down to verse 20. He says, teaching them. Listen, some of you are destined to be a teacher. And it does, when we hear teacher, we think it's just Sunday school. No, I'm talking about a teacher of the Word out there. In here, it is mostly believers, but out there, teaching them the Word of God, teaching them that God loves them, teaching them and sharing them that they are lost in their sins, that they are separated from God, having the courage to say, there is a hell, and the Bible says, wide is the gate, and broad is it, people are going in by the droves, yet we remain silent, because we think that's somebody else's job. We think that's the preacher's job. We think that's the preacher's wife's job. We think that's the deacon's job. When in fact, it's all of our jobs to share. It's all of us to teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded. And God has commanded. It isn't that you're going to keep it all down right. It doesn't mean you're going to keep the law. That's why Jesus came. The law was to give us conviction, understanding, knowing right from wrong. And Jesus came to give us that part where we can be forgiven of all of our sins and have a relationship with Him through. We can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, coming to the baptism and buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that when we get in the grave can't hold us, but we're going to be raised again. That this is as worse as it gets is right here on this earth. But the blessings here is tested upon your faith, because you do not see Him, but you believe in Him. You believe in Him, but you don't see Him. How do you know He's real? I ask you a question. How do you know He's real right now? How do you know that you have Him in your life? How do you know you got Jesus Christ in your life right now? How can you answer that question? Because I'm going to ask you, how do you know? Because you can't see Him. I can't see Him. Where's He at? Tell me. Show me. I don't understand, but I want to know. Is there a God? Can you answer the question? Because they're asking it, and we're not giving them an answer. Because you got to be real out there. We can put all the words and the fancy things. We can say righteousness, and we can say all kind of sanctification, and those are all biblical words, and those are good words. Those really are good. Righteousness is a big word of the Bible. Out here, they don't understand the word righteousness or sanctification at all. Being separated and a Christ-like, they don't understand that. But they want to know this. If there's a God, who is He? Why do I need Him? And you're telling me I'm a sinner. Okay, I know I don't do bad things. But how come? I think I'm a pretty good guy. I think I'm going to heaven. What do you have to say about that? And you've got to give an answer. And we're not giving the answer. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And He gives a task right after that. He says, you now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, I'll be with you the whole time. But listen, there are people that need to hear the gospel, not big words like the ones we were talking about, but out there in the real world. And someone may say, well, you don't know what? When you get a chance to talk to children and youth, may be able to say, you don't know how my mom and dad treat me. Ashley, you're a teacher. I've heard some of your stories. Kids coming in not having dinner from the night before. How do you share the love of God when at home there's little to no love at all? I want to tell you, there is a darkness and we live in it. But we don't have to let it influence us. We are becoming a fearful people. We need to be an influential piece into the darkness. Letting your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is also in heaven. That's what we need to do, just as Jesus says. We need to be that individual, that true. After that, He talks about being salt and light into the world. Can you answer the question? Once somebody gets to the point and says, I think I believe. I want Him in my life. Can you share the gospel? Can you tell that person how to become a child of God? When they're standing in front of you and finally say, I want Him. Can you help me? And you ought to be able to say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And you'll be like Nehemiah standing before the king. You'll be praying, Lord, give me words. And you'll be talking to that individual at the same time. It's the only time men can do two things at the same time. Talk to God and speak. Anything else, man can't do that. I'm talking about men, males. We can't do two things at the same time very well. But we can pray and speak at the same time. Listen, people need to come to Christ, but people aren't sharing the gospel. People need to come and know that there's light in the world and they're living in the darkness. And they need to know how to get out of that darkness and into the light. Because if we don't do it, then who is going to do it? This community here, I believe in this neighborhood, has no excuse. There's no reason. Because I believe we've done a lot, but we've not done all that we need to do. We need to continue to do it because new people move in and people move out. We need to keep sharing the gospel. What people do is when you start sharing the gospel, we sometimes start to get discouraged. We get discouraged because we share the gospel and nobody seems to be coming to the gospel. Well, let me tell you, you need to keep on doing it. You need to keep on doing it. God will give you the peace. My grandmother worked as a she was Assembly of God, and I always loved her for that. Assembly of God, and she was in Florida, and she would share the gospel with women on death row. And she told me, she said, "Jimmy, I felt like I was going through a storm one night, and the storm was just beating me up, and I'm driving, I got an hour and a half drive, and I just wanted everything I wanted to do, I wanted to turn around and leave. I wanted to just turn around and leave. I just felt like I've been sharing the gospel, and nobody wanted it, nobody cared about it. These ladies were saying, hey, they didn't believe in it. In fact, one lady was into Satanism and said that she was going to try to put a curse on me and keep me from coming, and that kind of fired me up for a moment, but then I just wanted to quit. And I got there, and here I was, and I was being able to go through all, be able to go in, and I just kind of went in kind of gloomy, and I saw one lady, and I began to share the gospel with her, and she came to the place where she did receive the gospel. And found out later that she was one of these ladies that had been presented the gospel several times. But she refused. You know why? My grandmother would say, because she said she thought she did, she had too much sin in her life, and Jesus could not forgive her of the sin that she committed. Was there a few more visits and those things? And my grandmother drove back and she says, you know, I went through there and I just felt like the Lord just said, hey, there's no quitting on me. There's no quitting on me. But she praised the Lord for it. She stayed on, continuing to do it for another couple of years until she just got too old. And then that woman eventually was put to death, death row. I want to tell you, it's not easy being what God's called you to be. But it comes with blessings, and it comes with adversity, but it comes with the knowing of that your life, listen, when you start sharing the gospel, you can start to begin to journal, and you could probably write a book on the testimonies that God did and answered for you. I'm a little appalled today by looking at what a pastor can look on a library or at the General Lifeway store. I love Lifeway. They're great. They're big givers to ministries. But as I go as a pastor, I go in there and I start reading all this is how to get to the next 200, how to get your church to 1,000, how to do this, how to raise this, how to get this, giving me all the answers. And I'm looking, listen, I don't want those things. I want to hear testimonies. I want to see not just how to get, I want to see the testimonies of people's lives being changed. That's why I go to the biography group, the biography area, people that are getting it done. People that are doing it, because listen, you only got one life, and that is it. I'm 50-something now. My 40s are done. And there was a time I thought, 40, man, that's so long down the road. I'll experience it when I get there. Huh, I've done experienced that thing. It's all the way back. I'm looking to going like, I don't think 60's that old, you know. So I'm trying to work through this thing here, and I'm like, My Christianity clock is ticking. My passing through is ticking. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that. I know the promises of God. And I have that, and that's awesome. But my time here to influence darkness and influence others and try to reach out and grab those who are going in that wide as the gate and, you know, going to hell, I just... My time is ticking. I want to be about godly things. I need to close. I want to talk to single people just for a minute. Let God pick out your spouse. Come on now. Amen. Let God pick out your spouse. Satan would love to turn your world upside down. The wrong person. With a pregnancy, out of wedlock, doesn't mean you don't love the baby. You love on that baby. Actually, you just love on them babies even more. But I'll tell you, Satan will do anything to derail your relationship from Christ. And the biggest way he does it, through relationships. I want you to know right where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, God is your biggest fan. God loves you no matter what you've done, where you're at, what hole you're trying to climb out of, what hole you just fell into. He is not far away. He's right there. But God will let you sit there sometimes until you call out His name. I know this. He's been good to me. He's been good to this church. He's been faithful. He's been strong. He's solid as a rock. He is my foundation. He's given me more mercy than I ever could ever desire to understand, to know what it's really truly all about. He's given me more mercy than I deserve. More love than I'll truly understand. Forgiveness that I'm even embarrassed that I've even have to ask for forgiveness of sins again. But why does He do all that? Because He created you and molded you. And He loves you. And this world just twists some of us so bad out of what our original form was supposed to be. A man, a woman with a relationship with God. That if we want to get right in the right mold again, we just got to call out His name. If you feel like you've been derailed, you feel like you're in a hole and you can't climb out of, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, His arm is long and He'll pull you right out. You're struggling in your relationship with God. The only one that can help you through that is God Himself. God Himself. If you think about walking away from God, I want to tell you this. When you walk away, you're walking into the arms of someone else. He will not love you. He will lie to you. He will tear your world apart. The Bible says that Satan is a liar, steals, and he kills. He's done too much of that to ours. He's done too much of that to you. Some of you know that Satan has stolen a lot from you. The only one who can get it back is him. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity this morning if you want to come and pray. Whatever God has upon your heart this morning, that you do it right and you get it right with Him.